GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
You're very welcome back. So we'll have Tommy Welch and Di Regan on the way after 8 o'clock. Somewhere in Limerick right now, we would guess they're either at the Gaelic grounds, the players, or they're on an open-top bus, or there's some degree of madness going on around them. So we figured the best thing to do earlier on was to try and grab Seamus Hickey before all the madness kicked off. We managed to do that as he was about to run out the door and hop on the train from Dublin back down to Limerick. So Seamus Hickey on the road a very, very long time with Limerick, 2006. He's seen his fair share of heartache, as much as any Limerick player. So we began, we welcomed him, we said, Seamus Hickey, All-Ireland winner, come on in.
Hi Joe, how are you doing, my man?
You're going to have to get used to that.
It's pretty cool. I got used to it very quickly, I'll be honest. after final whistle yesterday, it sounded good immediately. I won't take getting used to it.
Yeah, I know we're meant to be impartial and everything, but like, I'm thrilled for you. I think everybody here on Off the Ball is thrilled for you. You've kind of been talking to us for a decade maybe at this stage and done some bits of work with us, and we were all hoping that you'd do this one day. I won't lie, I was starting to think the odds were slimming.
Yeah, listen, no, I was talking to one of the guys earlier, like, so the likes of so Barry Murphy, there's a couple of guys who are off to, straight off to 21s who this is their first year on the pedal and they think this is every year. They think this is what happens year after year in Limerick. So there was times I found this difficult to see, like, so it's, I feel very blessed and privileged to be part of a group that we have. It's special to be part of history is something incredible. So they're a special bunch of lads, and I'm lucky to be part.
Yeah, I mean, you go through your 12 years now, I think it is, and you've an All-Ireland final defeat. I mean, you had a very tough day against Eddie Brennan that day, not to bring that up. I mean, that's maybe a bit easier to swallow now. And right, like, you know, managerial strife at times and semi-final defeats, epic ones at that, and managers coming and going and new players coming and going and probably your friends retiring. Like, there's been a lot packed in here. I presume all of that must swirl around for you.
Listen, no, like, in fairness, the lead up to the game was excellent. It's one thing I think that we've really been benefited from this year was the approach of John Kiley and our entire I suppose, infrastructure around the team has been, it's just been fantastic. You wouldn't know that the average age of our team is 22 or 23. You wouldn't know that that sometimes you wouldn't even know there's a game coming the week that we're training. It's so grounded, it's so even, and it's just balanced. I suppose a lot of the emotion that we associate with Limerick and Limerick hurling and a lot of the teams that I've been on, we were trying to replace that emotion with regular, dependable practice. So stuff that you can rely on when things go bad. Emotion is treacherous at times. I know my own passions and things like that let me down. So, you know, I think John, from the very beginning this year, set an excellent tone and carried it through. I think what he said internally to us after the quarterfinal and the semi-final was on the money. What he said externally was probably even better. I think he kind of hit the notes that needed to be hit. And running into the final, there wasn't even a whole pile of room to be thinking about all the different things from a personal note or anything like that. I found this year, more than anything, you get lost in the group. You lose the eye and you just become part of a unit that is well drilled, well versed, knows what we're doing, and it was a breath of fresh air, really. So afterwards I thought straight away, like, Gavin O'Mahony, James Ryan just retired, guys that I've played since under 14 with, guys who've given everything. I met Stephen Lucy, Brian Geary, our selector. You know, listen, the list is exhaustive. Go back to the 90s, Kieran Carey was there on Sunday, and, you know, these are great Limerick men, great Limerick hurlers, and, you know, I'm privileged to actually have a Celtic Cross.
I guess a question you can answer now, at what stage of this year did you think we have a chance of winning the All-Ireland? A good chance?
To win the All-Ireland, it actually never really, it didn't cross my mind. After the league game against Galway, I was convinced that whatever team beat us this year would have had to do an exceptional job to do it. They would have to bring a serious performance and they'd have to perform right until the end of the game to beat us. And that was just after the Galway game. So I said, this will be a tough ask for any team to actually come up against Limerick and beat them. I probably thought that you know, it might be next year or the year after where the whole thing came to fruition, based on, you know, John was just only second year and the age profile and stuff. So It probably didn't cross my mind. I didn't think about All-Irelands. I didn't think about a lot of that stuff. When we beat Kilkenny, it was very real. The game was on. And, you know, once I was lucky enough to be on the field for the final whistle against Cork, and that's a special feeling. So that was cool knowing we were going to an All-Ireland final.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of grew in belief in so far as the teams we were playing were good teams. Beating Galway, you know, beating Clare in the league quarterfinal, come up against Tip Tech and Tip Tech extra time. You know, these were good teams we were playing and matching. So it kind of probably opened our eyes to what we had a bit earlier than what we ourselves would have seen it.
The camera, I'm sure people have probably mentioned it to you, the TV pictures afterwards seem to pick out you quite a bit on the pitch at full time. I don't know.
Sympathy, I think, is the main thing.
were you aware of that? Was that on the big screen?
No, listen, I didn't. I'll be honest. I was lost in my own family at that stage. I was either looking for my mother and father and my brothers, or I was walking around with my kids. And so, like, that's what made it incredibly special for me. It's probably, you know, myself and Tom Condon are the only ones with kids on the team. a lot of them don't know what to make of. A lot of them don't know what to make of the entourage that I bring around. But that's what made it for me. That's what makes it super special. Some of the images that I have from yesterday with my two boys and my little girl Anna, like, I'll have them forever. And you know, they'll be special forever.
I'm thrilled to hear that, because I was watching and the TV either picked you out specifically, or at times you were just there in the background with your daughter, Anna. And I couldn't tell if you were soaking it all in and the happiest man on the planet, or if there was a slight detachment because you hadn't actually got onto the pitch in this particular game. Of course, you're an All-Ireland winner and you were on the semi-final pitch at full time. I couldn't work out if it was a Paul Scholes, Roy Keane thing going on.
No, I'll be honest. I was crying like a baby after. Like, I've been holding back emotion for a lot of this year. Like, in so far as, you know, whatever the future holds, but it's just an incredible feeling to like, only one team in the country in hurling can end the year as Lee McCarthy champions, and that's us this year. I've watched it year after year after year being somebody else. So it just, the realization of that, and I suppose the experiences that I had that I was pushing away for the week leading up to the game, and the people I'd seen and all that, like, so that just kind of, that was overwhelming. Like, it was probably the emotion that you're trying to hold back, it just bursts, and it is what it is.
Yeah, I was wondering what triggered it, actually, because at one point you're literally just bawling and your daughter's looking at daddy thinking, what's happening here?
I didn't actually see, a lot of this now. So
there's a shot of you. I mean, when you say you were emotional, I mean, there's a shot of you, like, hand over your face in floods of tears holding your daughter. And I was thinking,
Anna thought I'd gone schizophrenic. What triggered it? It was probably my mom and dad. Seeing my mom and dad probably, like, because if you're thinking about the journey and you're thinking about the steps along the journey, it's the people who are with you the longest on it is what does it.
Yeah. Did they get down onto the pitch, Seamus?
No. I suppose, to be fair, see, the security is fairly tight on the field. The fact that I got the two boys and Anna on, and my wife was probably one of the few significant others to get on. So I suppose that was probably because of the two boys and they needed minding. So, no, they didn't get onto it. Listen, that's the kind of protocols. It's a mix between, especially as players, it's a fabulous thing to have the pitch to ourselves after the game and to be able to savour it with each other. And then you kind of want to have this very select few, but, like, you can't. It's a very grey area then once you get it to that.
And were you able to see them? Like, did you see where they were sitting kind of thing?
Yeah. But sure, it was the eye contact with them, and it was the lock and eyes, hands on head, disbelief kind of stuff that kicked it off.
Yeah. Jeez, that'd set you off again, really, thinking about it, wouldn't it?
Not here. No, don't do this to me.
Don't do it to me. But, I won't. Yeah. Well, I mean, so they're just thrilled in the crowd kind of thing, I guess. That's one of the images.
Yeah, and any sports person will tell you that their success is rarely their own. It's shared with so many people that have facilitated them. Like, and whether it's our clubs, whether it's our underage coaches, or whether it's our fathers and mothers for taking us around the country underage, whether it's my wife for minding three children on her own on a Tuesday.
Yeah, geez.
You know, it's these people that facilitate you living a dream. And like, I feel like a child sometimes living a life, a double life as a fellow who's pursuing a boyhood dream and you know, a grown up with responsibilities in a family. So
yeah. And did the not getting on in this particular game, taint is even too strong a word. Where did that figure?
In the final, not so much, because I got on in the semi and I felt like I contributed. And I did a good job and I played the role I was meant to play. I was ready to come on, but Dan Dermot and Declan were solid. They were healthy. They were fit. They were good. So it's I didn't have a job to do. So the fact that Richie and Tom got on made it a bit special. So I didn't feel it myself, genuinely, and I mean that as sincere as I can say it.
Yeah, it makes it a bit more palatable for you if you can see that there's not a gaping hole here for you to go and fill.
Yeah, I've done everything I could, and I did what I was asked to do, and I did it as part of a group that I truly love and been part of. So
yeah,
you know, what's left to do.
Yeah, God, amazing stuff. You must be just can't wait for the next few days.
Listen, we're going home to Limerick tonight. It's going to be incredible. So I think our train is leaving. So
you're getting knocks on the door there, are you?
Yeah. I think that's for the train, yeah.
Well, listen, we wouldn't forget ourselves if you missed out on the homecoming after all this. So we'll let you go. Do you know, one final word then. Like, the fans were incredible, weren't they? I mean, they're kind of a special bunch and they get very excited about this team. I think it's probably worth even acknowledging them because they're actually a part of the Limerick story, more so than lots of
Limerick.
Other counties.
It is Limerick. It is like it's just the people in Limerick, and like in years gone by, we kind of just wanted to win a game to get the people on our back on behind us. And when Limerick people are rowing behind you, you're on the crest of a wave. This year, it was almost we're trying to separate ourselves from the wave and just kind of be our own team and get there. It's only then when you park the bus and you take a look that you acknowledge the roar in the semi final against Cork, roar when we came out. In the All-Ireland final, the noise, the volume, and the colour that they bring, like it's class. And the fact that it means so much to so many people, that's sinking in today as well.
I guess.
The amount of people that reach out to say that they witnessed it, that they were there, it's special.
Yeah, 98-year-old flying home from Chicago. I mean, that was just...
Yeah, I met him.
Did you? Yeah. John Hunt, what a man. My God.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
What a day for him. It's amazing what sport can do. I don't want you to miss your train, so we'll let you go. We'll catch up with you over the long winter ahead at some stage.
Gentlemen, thanks a million.
All right, well done again.
Limnockaboo.
Well, after a wait since 1940, we have Limerick, the All-Ireland champions, the worthy All-Ireland champions.
They've been through a lot over the last 40 years, in a sporting capacity and maybe even in a social capacity.
They were looking down and out, but they've come back to win by 6 points. Offaly 3-16, Limerick 2 goals and 13 points. What a comeback. Limerick just somehow hadn't it in them today. And it's Wexford a win by 2 points. Limerick did their level best, but it wasn't to be. Kilkenny had a wonderful start.
The 19th of August 2018. Who will be All-Ireland champions? Who will see their dreams turn into reality? Whose names will be etched in history forever?
Green wave just sweeping down towards Hill 16 now. They're attacking from all angles. Kyle Hayes again. He's got the run of the place. He's making himself at home. Picked up by McInerney. He's had his pocket picked by Morrissey. He's in. He's scoring. Oh, what a goal! Tom Morrissey with an absolute classic. Mistake by Toohey. Seized on by Peter Casey. He's got a man inside. It's Dowling who wants it. Gets it. Dowling!
I thought we were home and hosed, and credit to Galway, they came back into it and thundered into it. Joe Canning really led the way there, you know, but...
Canning, oh, it's a goal! 27 goals for Joe Canning, and this one is worth its weight in gold!
Just the last couple of minutes, the last 8 or 9 minutes was just the worst ever, like from 70 on, I thought it would never end, and they were coming and coming and they nearly caught us, you know.
Between his own 45 and 65, it's going to drop short, but where will it fall? It's in a Limerick hand. It's taken clear. It's all over! Limerick have done it. Limerick have won it. And they get the fairy tale finish after 45 years.
Yeah, there we are, extraordinary stuff. It could only be that musical choice, really, for the day that's in it. Limerick, after such a long wait, have banished the terrible memories of 1980 and 1981, and of course 1994 and 96 and 2007, and it's 45 years of waiting over for Limerick. In a moment, we're going to talk to Tommy Welch and Dahi Regan, who are standing by. First, though, some reaction from yesterday. John Kiely's done an extraordinary job. Under-21s obviously led to an All-Ireland final under his role, and he's under his tenure, and he's come in and done an extraordinary job with the seniors. Now, he spoke to Maura Taras afterwards, and we'll jump in here. Limerick have obviously put together some brilliant comebacks themselves this year. So she asked him if what Galway did in that final 2 minutes plus added time almost reminded him of what Limerick did against Cork.
You know, analogies with 94 will be put out there as well, you know. And it was going to take a few big wins, you know, in terms of a couple of key balls that had to be won. And, you know, Tom Cannon's ball there at the end when it was just only one in it and the long range free, and probably, you know, had somebody picked up that ball on the break or got a contact on it, and they probably would have got that second or two to get the shot off, and the draw would have been, and the puck would have been a draw, and that's it, you know, and it would all be all about Limerick threw it away again. So fair play to the boys, you know. They really, really backed themselves in that closing stages and won vital balls. We got a great score above off Graham Mulcahy, really close to the end there as well, that just stretched it to two again, you know, and we could have nearly got the third one even, you know, to make it three. But yeah, it was an incredible finish to the game. I suppose that's a testament to really the quality of this Galway team. You know, they are incredible hurlers. You know, they ran the bench, they got their lads in, they made huge contributions, they changed their structure and shape, and they just started to really reel us in, you know. And it was, we were the guys, we were getting tired a little bit in the finish, you know, and I suppose they did everything in their power to retain their title, and that's a quality side, you know. But look at the journey they've been on, 9 matches to retain their title, and they took it to the very wire, last puck of the game, top class.
They did, though, but at the end of the day, Limerick, they were the better team. There's no two ways about it. From the first ball that was thrown in, you were the better team.
We were, yeah, but we spawned a few chances, you know. We could have had a few more balls over the bar, so a few lads will probably be a little bit annoyed that they didn't get one or two more scores, you know. But listen, when it came down to it, we had the ruthlessness and we took the goals, and the goals were key. Just thrilled.
That won't really matter now, because I've just heard the noises coming out of the dressing room. I think the last song I heard was Westlife, World of Our Own. Were you down there with the sing song as well?
Yeah, they love that one, all right. They love that one. It's a great sing-along song, I suppose, but they don't care. They'll dance to anything tonight, and yeah, listen, they're going to have a great time, and we don't know what's ahead of us. None of us know. We haven't ever been through it, and We'll take it one step at a time, and we'll enjoy every bit of it along the way. You know, we've worked really, really hard, and I think we've made our luck this year, and we've got a lot out of it.
That's the thing, isn't it? People make luck. People said they were lucky. No, hard work creates luck, and you worked really hard. But in your own case, in your own feet, you're a little bit older than your players, obviously. So you've seen a lot of hurt over the years, and I'd imagine all that, I don't want to use the word cleansed, but certainly helps a lot now.
Yeah, I think for the general people of Limerick in general, you know, they've been through a lot over the last 40 years on a sporting capacity and maybe even in a social capacity. And over the last 10, 15 years, we've seen a gradual rising of the tides, you know. Thomond Park, Gaelic Grounds, UL, our city centre, our county as a whole. And we're in a great place as a county and as a people. And I'm just so delighted for them. Thank you for all the support in the lead up to the final all year long, and especially out there today when it mattered. And I salute them all, and I congratulate them, and I tell them, go in, have a great party tonight.
You're certainly going to enjoy this evening and the next week, I imagine.
Absolutely, you better believe it.
And I'd say you certainly won't mind if Limerick goes absolutely mad now.
It'll be incredible, I've no doubt. We don't know what we're facing, but sure, we'll enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, you can sort of hear the Limerick players singing in the background there. I guess they're getting a feel for what's ahead of them now. That was John Kiely speaking to Maura Taras yesterday at Croke Park when this whole thing is beginning to sink in. Micheál Donoghue then, also spoke to her, and needless to say, he's very disappointed. She asked him where he feels Galway fell short yesterday.
4 points down at half time, you know, probably didn't hit the heights we would have liked to, but you know, the boys were still in the game, and said 4 down at half time, and second half we came back into it, you know, addressed a few things at half time, and the lads worked really hard to put themselves back in the game. But you know, when the third goal came, it just, I thought up to that time, you know, we had a bit of momentum, hadn't gotten a few scores on the board, and that goal just probably knocked us. But look, I'm really proud of the lads, the way they fought back, you know, brought it back to a point again into injury time, and you know, they just showed massive resilience, massive heart, and you know, as a management team, we're just really proud of them.
It's funny when you say you think that third goal might have knocked you, because when you think about it, 68 minutes, you were something like 8 points down and you clawed it back. We've heard a lot of talk about it. We saw Joe did an interview there a few weeks ago, and he said he felt the character was being questioned. Nobody could question Galway's character to keep coming back, despite the fact that you weren't firing on all cylinders today.
No, but look, that's the one thing that's, you know, the players understand the responsibility that goes with wearing that jersey, and you know, I couldn't be more prouder of them. You know, I've alluded to that many times, you know, particularly after the drawing games, you know, the heart and determination and the resilience, all those words, you can pull them out. You know, obviously the intent this year was to try and retain what we had. You know, we did that with the Leinster final. We came up today trying to hold on to what we had, but you know, today Limerick came out and, you know, got to the pitch of the game and worked really hard, and all credit to them, and we congratulate them.
Yeah, Micheál Donoghue conducted himself very well across the last 2 years, obviously, and 3 years now into the job. I presume he'll stay on. We'll have to wait and see. Tommy Welch is on the line. Dahi Regan's on the line. Tommy, we heard there the Limerick players went for a bit of World of Our Own in the dressing room. I don't know what your go-to song was in the dressing room afterwards. Must be just amazing fun.
It is. And I suppose that's the modern player. Coming up with all these new songs, pop songs. We used to be singing Molly Malone and all these kind of songs. But when the new lads came in, that's what they had. And great fun. I think that's the kind of moment you're nearly at your closest as a panel, Joe. You're all hugging each other. You're all singing songs. Probably there's probably always 4 or 5 singers in the group, and they will step up and start it off, and the rest of us then will kind of shout in with the choruses. But it's really, really special times.
Yeah. Dahi, I presume you've those memories too.
Yeah. A lot of good memories, all right, to be honest with you. You know, you remember the ones, to be honest with you, remember what you've lost more than what you won. You can never do anything about what you've won, but I always find that the games that you lost are always the ones you'll remember way down the years, to be honest with you.
Mm. What's going on in the Galway dressing room around about then, based on your own experience, Dahi? Because obviously we see the cameras get inside the Limerick dressing room, we see JP McManus go in, we see the sing-song. And actually, just you're hitting buttons there, Dahi, on the phone. So just watch that. We're getting dial tones in.
Yeah, no, I understand. I was wondering what was going on myself. Sorry about that.
So what's going on in the Galway dressing room? Because we don't get the cameras inside in the same way we do with the Victor's dressing room. Like, is there any point in making a speech and saying, well done, and we'll go again next year? Does anyone want to hear that?
No, not at all. No, and it's the same when you land back to the hotel and all of this type of thing. I remember when Clare beat us, we got back to the hotel and we were told right upstairs straight away and change into your blazers and the whole thing. And I thought, Eamon Cregan has been telling me what to do for the last 9 months. We've just lost an All-Ireland final. I'm going to do what I'm told now. All I wanted to do was meet my family and spend time with them. But I know in the dressing room after 95 as well, it was way different. Like, you were in showering, you were in the nip, you were doing all sorts, and the media were walking around her. I remember Cliona Foley walked in and said, do you mind having a few words with you? And I'm sitting there naked and going, oh yeah, no problem at all, Cliona. Yeah, like, you know, it's so intrusive when you're in the dressing room immediately after a game and there's people just walking around, like walking on the carcass of something that's so hurtful. And you know, at least nowadays it's managed a hell of a lot better. Mm. You put certain people out and you're given time for the management to sit down with you. But I mean, what's it like? I mean, Tommy will tell you, it's, from a sporting point, it's not the worst thing in the world, because life is precious and more precious than sport. But if you want to keep it in just a sporting context, it's as low as you can get. Mm. It's absolutely horrible. It's gut-wrenching. It's a black hole and you don't get over it for a long, long time in a sporting context. Absolutely, it's the worst place you can be in the world. Mm. But again, I'm mindful to keep it in a sporting context.
Yeah.
It's as bad as it gets.
I'm glad you are keeping it in a sporting context, because so much of the talk about these things, like, goes way overboard. Like the hype beforehand, you know, you see people's tweets and they're just all so over the top, and it is almost as if like it's life or death. And it really isn't. Like for the Galway players, I mean, what an amazing thing to have been part of. But yes, in a sporting context, probably a sickener. How well do you remember the defeats, Tommy? Do they kind of stick out in your mind, aside from your 9 All-Ireland medals?
Yeah, no, I suppose, no, talking to Noel Hickey, he used to always have great advice and that kind of thing. Just forget it as quick as you can. And that's what I used to try and do. Back out with the club or back out doing something, competing at something to try and forget about it. So that was the way my kind of coping mechanism was, to try and forget about it as quick as you can, because if you stay moping around in that, it'll only bring you down. And it's very easy for that to happen, because you know, you build up your whole life, they're your dreams, that's what you want to do. And it's even harder the final, because when you watch the guys that win, they're in the All-Star, you know, the All-Star night, you meet them there, you see them on all the papers, you see them with the cup going off in their holiday. So nowadays, just with so much media and that, it is hard, because at least I suppose that years ago when there wasn't as much media, you mightn't see much of it for the rest of the winter. So yeah, it's very, very difficult. But listen, you get on with it, and the quicker it comes around, the better. But I often found as well, when you went off meeting the lads, you know, you meet them for a few pints during the winter and that, and it's nearly, you nearly build a stronger bond, because you start, you know, reminiscing on the hurt and that, but you're in it together. And I always found if you gave it everything, it wasn't half as bad. You'd get over the mistakes. No one ever really minded that. And that's why I think Galway, I suppose, Joe, will they'll get over this, not quick, but they'll get over that bit easier, because if they had to be in maybe 10 or 12 pints yesterday, everyone would be questioning their guts, their spirit, their determination, their mentality. But no one will question it now, Joe, because they know that they gave it everything. When the game was over, they still fought and nearly staged the greatest comeback, I'd say, ever in an All-Ireland final.
Yeah, to go along with that, Dahi, will this be, I don't want to use the word easy, maybe easier. Will it be kind of a bearable defeat for Galway, or will this one haunt them, do you think?
I would take a different view. I think this will haunt them. I think it'll haunt Micheál Donoghue and his management team, and I think it'll haunt the players, because for all intents and purposes, Joe, you looked at that game yesterday, and it wasn't anything near a classic, to be honest with you. And I figure if you were looking at it at home, it looked actually a very average game of hurling. But I was fascinated for the simple reason, because I was sitting so high up in the back of the stand looking down on it, and I was fascinated to look at Limerick's strategy. So I just found it engrossing from that point of view. But it wasn't a fluent type of a game. Like, to go back to the question you're asking about Galway, I'm at a loss thinking about it throughout the day today to figure out. I mean, that was a very poor defence of an All-Ireland title. That was a really poor performance from Galway. It lacked intensity. It lacked imagination. It lacked a response to what was happening in front of them, both from players on the pitch and from the management. If you're to be honestly critical about it, I thought it was one of the worst defences of an All-Ireland title from a superb bunch of players, a superb team. But I thought they had so much time to look at the way Limerick played. I mean, Limerick's strategy with the puck out is there for the world and its mother to see. And it's brilliant in its simplicity, and it's predicated on timing. The timing of the puck out, what the three half forwards are doing, invariably pulling into the middle. And Flanagan, literally on the edge of the square, the far end of the field, sprinting, making a sprint, so creating 2 yards and sprinting 30 metres, that when by the time the ball is moving, it's there and it's bouncing into his hand. Now, a puck out should not bounce in Croke Park in front of you, and you're running onto it with all that space. And I'm looking at it saying, what are Galway doing? They know this is coming. You've got to hurl on the shoulder. You've got to anticipate. You've got to be meeting them when the ball is coming. When the ball is landing, you've got to be meeting them. Now, there was one other aspect I looked at. Galway at times tried zonal marking to counteract the puck out. And that was, Pádraig Mannion would tell Garóg McInerney, when his man was moving across to the centre, I'm not moving, I'm going to stay because a runner's going to come this side, so you pick him up. And in the space and the timeline it took for that message to get across to Garóg or whoever was the far side, they were moving towards the Limerick player
who was coming that side of the field. They weren't sprinting to him. And I looked at the other end of the field when Galway were forced at times to go long. And Limerick were kind of dropping back. The wing forwards had dropped back. The midfielders had dropped back. You want to see the way they got to the Galway attacker before the ball was poked out from Skehill. They sprinted to him. So when the ball was landing, they were attacking it with him. And every Limerick player within 20 metres, and Joe, we discussed this after the Waterford game about the world and his mother knew it. Every Limerick player within 20 metres sprinted to the ball like a savage animal that hasn't been fed in weeks. And they just converged on everything. And if a Galway fella picked it up, there was three and four around them. Mm. And Galway never matched that intensity all day. So to me, they didn't match the intensity. Mm. Number one, they didn't meet the game plan at all. And that really disappointed me about Galway, that they didn't meet the game plan, which is an awful lot of movement. Play it down the lines. And they didn't meet it. And they didn't counteract it. And they were getting dragged all over the place. And it was there for everyone to see the way Limerick... Now, Limerick were brilliant at the way they executed. I thought Limerick were sensational at the way they executed. Five wides after 5 minutes in an All-Ireland final. Every one of them could have been a settler, and they missed them. And it still didn't change anything they did. But as a defence of a crown, I think Galway will have long nights over the winter with a lot of self-introspection about that.
Yeah. Tommy, come in on that, because you were there as well. I guess if there was a moment which maybe captured the Galway flatness, or just a kind of sense, are they where they should be, you know, doing themselves justice? It was about 27, 28 minutes in. It was the Declan Hannan point where he got out in front of Joe. You know, Joe almost kind of waiting for it. And like, obviously we saw what Canning did as the game went on, and it was, he had a monumentally brilliant second half, and they gave it a good rattle in that last 10 minutes, but it was only in the last 10 minutes. But that moment where Hannan gets out in front of him and drives it over the bar, and did you share that sense with Dahi that you were looking at Galway and maybe it's tiredness, maybe too many of them are carrying knocks and injuries and are patched up, but you get this sense, these lads aren't as ravenous as they have been.
Yeah, Joe, you see, you have to remember where Galway are coming from as well. Like, you really have to, like, this Limerick team haven't won an All-Ireland since 1973. These young lads, it's only their first year or two in on the panel. So they're going to be like that. You see that poster behind me, Hurling Warriors. To win an All-Ireland final, Joe, you have to be brilliant at your hurling and you have to be a warrior. That's what Limerick came with yesterday. Mm. Their hurling, as Dahi said, the puck outs were amazing. I would not like to be a wing back in today's inter-county game, because I'd say you're running here, there and everywhere. The zone defence is much more difficult to do. And you have to be a warrior. Like, you've seen Kyle Hayes, the scores that he got at the end. But what he did with regards to his work rate in the first half was incredible. You spoke about Declan Hannan. He was firing out just in front of Joe for that great point, inspirational point that drove on the Limerick team. But why weren't Galway maybe at such a pace? Was this their 9th or 10th game?
Yeah.
I think they're 13 games unbeaten before yesterday. Now, this is where, like, people would question how come Kilkenny were able to do it, say, over the years, keep going and going. But we had so many on the panel. Like, I think we made an average of 3 changes nearly every game. I was looking at the programme here in front of me, Joe. Mm. You look at the Galway team that started yesterday, right? Then look down through the bench. You'd look at Jason Flynn and Niall Burke, say, in the forward line. They're the only they're guaranteed. If they don't start, they're guaranteed to come on every day. You know, Davy Glennon comes on once or twice a year. Paul Killeen comes on in the backs. Like, but other than that, you're talking about they're picking from the same nearly 17 or 18. So if you're there in training, Joe, right, you mightn't be playing, but you're nearly guaranteed to come on. Mm. So that can take a little bit of an edge off you. So I think it's more circumstance with regards how many matches. Like, when we were playing, we used to only play 4 matches, I think it was, to win in All-Ireland, because you go straight through Leinster, semi-final, Leinster final, All-Ireland semi-final, All-Ireland final. They had to play 9. Like, it's incredible what they had to do. And, like, that was the first match they were beaten in this year. Mm. Limerick were lucky enough. Like, let's talk about Limerick below on Ennis. If their season had to finish that day, you'd be saying they're not at the races, their minds weren't there. They were too confident. But no, they were lucky enough. They got that shot and they were able to come on then and remember that and bring it with them for the rest of their days. Now, I know, as you often said, they've got a few warnings in the Leinster final and in the All-Ireland semi-final. But listen, there's only so many times you can come to the well. I thought their backs and midfield as defensive unit, they were terrific yesterday, because the balls that were coming down, it was an onslaught, really. And I just thought the form. I thought the form of the Galway forwards. They just weren't in form yesterday.
Yeah, what's your reading the Galway forwards, Di?
Massively disappointing. I mean, a case in point, when Niall Burke was coming on, and Tommy's right, the same two guys are always the first 2-1. When Niall Burke was coming on yesterday, Mannion was halfway down the tunnel. Conor Cooney was making his way over to the sideline. Conor Cooney thought he was gone because Conor Cooney's been taken off in all the games this year, bar the first one. And then he didn't make the Kilkenny game. And Lynn got in. And I said it to you, Joe, about Conor Cooney. And I said it last Wednesday night. Conor Cooney is a brilliant forward. He's an absolutely brilliant forward. But Conor Cooney is shorn of confidence. And it's like, you know, you look to the sideline, your first sub coming off when you look to the sideline. Well, when you're in an All-Ireland final, and you're looking to the sideline and you see Niall Burke coming on and you're presuming immediately it's me that's gone. And you're actually over at the sideline and you realise, oh, it's not actually me. That's a player that's gone on confidence. Now, there's something going on there, because one thing in life you can't argue with is facts and figures when they're put down in front of you. And Conor Cooney, over the last number of games, is a guy that's hurling from memory. And he's way better than that. And he has no confidence. He's been taken off game after game. And I suspect part of the problem is last year when he was full forward, okay, he'd move about, but Johnny Glynn this year has been cementing a place from the start, and he seems to be spending a lot of time in full forward, and it's the go-to ball. And then when they need him out the field to win puck out, as they did at times against Clare, and that he did it, and he did it successfully. And I think Conor Cooney has suffered, and I don't know if he got over the fact that he was dropped, because he's a way better player. He'll lack a form. Conor Whelan yesterday, when Mike Casey went down in the first half, clearly badly troubled with an ankle injury. At that time, Johnny Glynn was in full forward and they were continuing to isolate him, Joe. He was down with an injury and you could clearly see the guy was in butter. And I looked at it and I thought, get Johnny Glynn out in the half forward line, get Whelan in, change the type of ball in on top of Casey now, because he's able to stand underneath it. And he was hurting Johnny Glynn out with it and letting it run behind him. And I thought, he has a major problem, and it's evident he's a major problem. Get the message onto the boys, get Whelan in full and start lower trajectory and get him to start testing that ankle and take him on. And they left Johnny Glynn in on there. And I was looking at it going, that sticks out like a sore thumb. Mm. He's going in there injured and they're just going to pump ball down on top of him. And all he needs to do is stand and use his strength. So there was a number of occasions that type of stuff happened. Joseph Cooney got 3 good points. Let's call a spade a spade. I looked at the paper today and I looked at the Independent and I read the articles at lunchtime, and it's great lunchtime reading when you're having a lunch. 2 of the correspondents said, well, at least Joe will most likely pick up Hurler of the Year. What are you on about, lads? What planet are you on? He wasn't in the top 4 Galway players this year. Whelan, the Mannions, Dahi Burke, David Burke in the middle of the field. Like, in the first half, Joe was so far off the pace. He was so far off the pace. Now, admittedly, he lifted Galway in the second half, but we need to keep a sense of a perspective on this. And Tommy's correct. This is an All-Ireland final. You've got to do it. You need 5 or 6 fellas playing brilliantly for the whole 70 minutes. Galway didn't have one. Not one. For the whole 70 minutes. And Limerick stuck to a game plan, which was brilliant. And you had a number of players who were brilliant throughout the game. It was easy to analyse for the first 70 minutes. It's what came in the next 8 was very, very difficult to comprehend what you were looking at the end of the day.
Yeah, we'll come on to those 8 in a second. Tommy, I guess we should celebrate what was so good about the game. And that was Limerick from the very start. You know, 3 points to no score ahead. People forget Galway went ahead in that first half, 6-5 before the Limerick goal, like, which would have been a massive injustice on the play. Like, talk to us about how good Limerick were, what players stood out for you from Limerick, everything about their final appearance. Like, this is a team with an average age of 22, 23, and there was worries about hype and various other things. And I should, by the way, say, you tipped Limerick all week, and you tipped them yesterday, even right before the match started. So you were very confident in this group, and they lived up to what you were hoping for, obviously.
They did. And the one thing we spoke about before the game, Joe, was in your first final, you'd be very afraid that it'll pass you by. We mentioned that a good few times. And it was like that was bet into these Limerick lads all week. Don't let this final pass you by, because the minute the ball was thrown in, they were tearing around after the ball as if they're going to be took off in 2 or 3 minutes. That they better get on as much ball and run as much and make as many tackles before they're gone. And amazingly, they were able to do that right up until, I suppose, the 70th minute, or until we went into them 8 minutes of injury time. Because I remember MT asked me yesterday, like, when should you be worried? I think there was about 52 or 62 minutes gone in the game. And I said, I'd be worried now if I was a Galway person, because usually when you're winning, like, they might be winning by about 5 points at that stage, Limerick. Usually when you're winning like that and you're trying to get over the line, you hang in there and you hang in there. But I felt they were playing at that stage of the game as if it was the first minute in the game. They weren't hanging on. They were trying to kind of do away with Galway, finish them off. That's what their mindset was. And when you're like that, Joe, you're always going to give yourself a great chance. Now, you can have that attitude. You also have to have the hurling. I'm just looking at the programme here. Like, I suppose Sean Finn, Mike Casey and Richie English, that was the worrying point, I'd say, for Limerick coming into this final, because they gave away such, in height. But they were phenomenal yesterday. And Mike Casey, we were talking about before the game, don't try and catch the ball off Johnny Glynn, because he's so good and so strong that if you try and do that, he will catch one or two. And if he's close to goal, then there's a goal on. And he's done that in nearly every game this summer. But no, Mike Casey sacrificed his game, I felt. Could have gave away one or two frees, but didn't, because you'll get them calls in an All-Ireland final. And he just played Johnny Glynn, ball broke, and off they went. And when that wasn't working, then for Galway, the runners, the likes of Cathal Mannion, who's after having a terrific year, likes of Conor Cooney, likes of Joseph Cooney, they run on for these breaks, you see. And when these hand passes weren't coming, then they found it hard to get into the game. So I think the full back line for Limerick deserve huge credit. As I said, to win, you need your players in top form. Declan Hannan, who is the best game he has played this year, centre back, scoring 2 points, that would lift any player and give you confidence. You know, you might go out of the game for 10 or 15 minutes, but you will have that in the bank and you will say, listen, I can do this again. And he played like a man possessed. Dan Morrissey, Dermot Burns again, he's been a brilliant underage player for Limerick. He was good all year, but the semi-final, especially yesterday, I thought he was phenomenal yesterday, coming out with the ball, and especially in that first 20 minutes. Darragh O'Donovan, I think I heard afterwards, did he stay with his nanny and granddad all week just to stay away from the hype? Amazing stuff, really. He played like a lad that didn't know there was an All-Ireland final. Keane Lynch saved his best performance again for the final. Like, if you notice what I'm saying about all these players, a lot of them actually saved their best performance for the final. Yeah. Their old Hegarty, brilliant again in those first 20 minutes. Kyle Hayes, I often spoke about TJ Reid. When did TJ Reid go from being a very good player to a great player? When he brought his defence, when he wasn't in the game, when he brought that work rate, when he wasn't in the game, into play. And I thought Kyle Hayes, although he mightn't have been on a huge amount of ball, even though he set up the first goal, even though he wasn't a huge amount of ball, his tackling and tracking back was terrific. I remember writing it down in my copybook yesterday. There was twice, I think, he was involved in surrounding Padraig Mannion. Padraig Mannion is their best player, has been one of the hurlers of the year for Galway and in Ireland. And both times when he got the ball, four Limerick lads surrounded him, and he was one of them, setting the tempo. Inside then, Seamus Flanagan, we were all wondering, how would he get on in Doughy Burke? Didn't really stay in Doughy Burke all the time. In on him, then out to the corner, out to the wing. He was brilliant at winning the ball. And Sir Graham Mulcahy, he's in the run for Hurler of the Year. Mm. Again, best performance, 1-2. And Sir Gillan, you know, Gillan, again, he won a few balls. A young lad, only is he 20 years of age. He scored 2 points from playing a few frees as well. And he was definitely very good near the end when they needed a guy to win ball. So if you notice, like, my analysis of Limerick there, they're individual players. Throw away tactics, throw away puck out. Their form of their players was inspirational yesterday.
Yeah, no, when you put it like that, it's true. So Shane Dowling Doughty said that 94 flashed across everybody's minds, and I'm sure it probably flashed across your mind as well. You had a front row seat, needless to say. How do you analyse what happened in the last 2 minutes of normal time and then added time? Like, John Kiley said that Galway changed their shape and their structure. Maybe that was a part of it, I don't know. Like, so say on Canning, for instance. Like, it's not like Canning suddenly upped his effort. I can't believe that. I have to presume he's trying as hard as he possibly can all the way through, and it's not happening for him for some reason. Like, is there a move on what and how they're using him? Is there a move on how Galway are using everything? Or did Limerick just kind of freeze that little bit in a very understandable way?
No, Joe, I think in relation to Joe Canning, I think Joe Canning recognised himself that his performance in the first half, like, let's not forget 2012 and Henry Shefflin.
Yeah.
Okay? Where, if ever, Peter Canavan in 95 against Dublin was probably the first time I've ever seen, you know, someone nearly win a game on their own. Henry Shefflin
in 2012 in the second half, nearly single-handedly, was able to turn the whole tide against the Galway team that were better than Kilkenny on the day. And Joe Canning did not have a good first half yesterday, but a sign of the greatness was, and I watched him so closely in the second half and his demeanour, and he was, I've never seen him more vocal on a pitch as he was in the second half. He led. He did not have a good first half and he didn't lead. And your leaders must lead. But he did in the second half. He got a grip of the game. He got a grip of the surroundings. He was actually talking to his defenders, and I could see him talking to Mannion very closely about where he wanted him, where he should go, etc. And he deserves immense credit for that. Secondly, Conor Whelan was on the edge of the square when he scored the goal, which to me should have happened after 20, 25 minutes, because he's their best forward. To me, he's their best forward, Whelan. I just think when he's on, that's it. But yesterday, he was floating space the whole time. He concentrated no defender's mind. He didn't have to. There was too much floating going on without kind of saying, right, so much talk about the full back line. We're going to target you. We're going to eyeball you and we're going to take you on and we're going to run your channels. They never did it. They left Lynn isolated for a lot of it. The first time I seen Conor Whelan on the edge of the square, he caught a ball and he buried it. So, like, was there a change? There was. Two, he was 40 yards from goal. He had moved up. I mean, they got the structure right. They moved Garoge McInerney out of centre half back and they moved him to the wing. And you know from my talking about Garoge before, Galway made a monumental error. Garoge is a sitting holding centre back. He's not a man marking wing back. They got that one wrong. And Micheál will have to look at that. Did they change their structure? I wouldn't agree that they forensically looked at where we're going wrong here. I think they made changes. They certainly made changes. But I mean, did that turn the game? It didn't, for the simple reason it all happened so quick. Yeah. There were 8 points down and a good ball was hit in from Flynn. Whelan made a great catch and he buries it in the back of the net.
Yeah.
In relation to the penalty, correct me, Tommy, if I'm wrong, but was it a case, or for the free, was it a case that somebody actually spoke to the referee and he moved it in? Because I think where the free was actually given from, he moved it in. Because a guy beside me said to me, Jesus, it's Johnny Dooley all over. And I thought, yeah, about the same distance. And then he's moved it across right in front of the goals. And I thought, if somebody has spoken, that's stupid. Now, I've seen Joe Canning against Bourne in a Club All-Ireland final in that goals. And that flashed before me beforehand. And before he struck the ball, I could see nothing other than goal. So, okay, it's freakish. They've been hit by two goals in the space of. Thankfully, from their perspective, they had the bit of a buffer of a lead. Because when Joe Canning stood over it, I thought, if and when he scores this, Galway are actually going to win the game, because there's still about 3 minutes left. I thought it's going to implode, but it didn't. They kept their shape and they kept their discipline, because that's what they've done all year. And I mean, it could have gone absolutely anyway. It was an extraordinary finish. Everybody was on their feet. Nobody could believe what they were seeing, except about the 20 or 30 Galway people around us who had left with 9 or 10 minutes on the clock. And I'm glad they did, because when you do that in an All-Ireland final, and you get up and you walk out, well, they deserve nothing better, to be honest with you, those people that did. It was shocking to see it. But anyway, it was just extraordinary what happened in the last 8 minutes. And Mulcahy's point, to get the point like he did.
Yeah, the canvas.
Was, oh my God, what a finish under pressure. To mine that score from a ball that Galway actually should have had control of. But it was a 1 point hiding, Joe, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because if Limerick had lost that, Is there any coming back? Is there any coming back from something like that? So Galway deserve immense credit for sticking to the task. But it wasn't because there was massive structural change and sorted it out. They got two flash goals. And you know what? It was fairly extraordinary that they did, but they got them. But Limerick still saw it out. And anything other than that would have been a travesty.
Yeah, you can imagine the scar tissue and the trying to get over that would have been horrific. Tommy, last word on the game to you then on the 8 minutes of added time and the 2 minutes before that. Like, I mean, we didn't get the classic game that this championship deserved, but man, we got the last 10 minutes were as dramatic as this championship deserved. Like, it was unbelievable. It was hard to think. It was hard to breathe watching it. There was a sense that, like, oh my God, this is happening. How can this be happening?
Yeah, and listen, it's sport. That is sport. And like, you know, like, I've met a good few people since the game, and you know, it's kind of divided whether it was a good game or whether it wasn't. But yeah. I weigh on the other side. I thought it was a brilliant game, because I'm not into the not that I'm not into it, like the semi-final, Cork and Limerick, all score. But as a defender, I suppose, you love, like, there was a lot of wides out there, but I felt it was the pressure that was being put on them by the opposition defenders and midfielders. So I love that kind of a game where there's misses and there's hooks and blocks and you have both sides of it. So I love the game myself. I'd love it better than a 2:30 to 1:30 type game. But those 8 minutes, yeah, you see, once the 8 minutes went off, like, it was like, oh no, that's a long, long time.
And, yeah.
You know, we were all thinking about 94 and, you know, it was, you know, the way the underdog, like, you'd hate for that and like that to happen. And it'd be the other way around. If Galway were winning by, we'll say, 8 points, and that was to happen, you would feel sorry because people will start blaming themselves and you'd hate for that to happen. So I think, like, for the psychology of all those 30, like, there was someone yesterday, I think, about 2 minutes ago, Joe, and they looked around and there was a Limerick, an old fella from Limerick, and he was bawling his eyes out saying, oh no, we're going to be bet again. So you'd hate for anything like that to happen, but 8 minutes, they were horrendous, as John Kiley said, for the Limerick people. And, you know, I'm just delighted that something like that didn't happen anyone.
Before you go, Tommy, who's your hurler of the year 2018?
So my hurler of the year, like, we'll say if there was no winners, Padraig Mannion would definitely be on, you know, one of my top two. From the Limerick point of view, it's hard to really know because you have to go back through all them players. But thinking back on it and going back and through, the guy who was, he was nearly kind of finished and kind of a sub type of a player in the last few years, Graham Mulcahy. I thought he was brilliant all year. And I always mentioned that when you're on top, like, you need your older guys, your top guys to be really leading and showing the way because they give you the confidence. It's just something about an older player and that. And I thought from the first game of the championship, he has led the way, Graham Mulcahy. And to show his resilience, where he came from, like, he was there for a few of those losses. So for him to come back and still do it with all these young fellas on board all year long, it's between Padraig Mannion and Graham Mulcahy. But as Limerick are champions, after so many matches, I feel it has to be a Limerick lad. And I definitely would give it to Graham Mulcahy on everything. The other thing as well is he was great at defending, hooking and blocking as well. And listen, he got the winning score. And no matter what way you look at it, even though Peter Casey was the lad that chased down the Galway defender, He's the guy that had to put the ball over the bar. How many people's lives did he change? Because a game like that changes lives, especially the way Limerick won it. So Graham Mulcahy, on the biggest stage of all, at the biggest moment of all, he did it. And he's my hurler there.
Yeah. Dahi, you've made it clear Joe Canning not getting the nod from you this year, although I know you admire him.
Not anti-Joe. I mean, the guy's a sensational hurler.
Yeah.
I've been at every single Galway game, including the first one in Tullamore against Offaly, where Joe sat in his armchair for the game. He didn't need to do anything else. Yeah. And we were looking at him that night going, you know, you see when they come up against the bigger boys what this guy can do. So, like, don't get me wrong. The guy's a sensational hurler. But I've seen every game this year. I was at every single game this year. Dahi Burke, Padraig Mannion, and David Burke gave some of the great exhibitions that I've seen this year, but wheeling up front. But for me, the first three mentioned Galway players, every game, they were just outstanding from start to finish. And that's what, if you're judging a player, and that's what you should judge a player on for player of the year.
And your overall hurler of the year?
I'd say the same for Mulcahy. But I'll tell you who I've seen all bar the Limerick Clare game. Keane Lynch, to me, was just unreal. His touches, his flicks, and the whole thing. They got him into a position midfield. They've been playing him up front before. Maturity beyond belief for a young kid. I mean, to me, just a pleasure watching him. Did he do some of the things that Dahi Burke did during the course of the year? I'd probably give it to David Burke, to be honest with you, if I was to give it to the All-Ireland losers, because he played like a captain. He was just, I just thought he was absolutely extraordinary. I'd give it to Keane Lynch if I had to go along with, you must give it to. But the player I enjoyed most watching this year was David Burke, Galway's captain. I just didn't ever, but to lead like that in every single game was just, he was unreal.
Okay, great answer. What a summer we've had. I don't know what we're going to do for the next 8 months, Tommy.
Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to start club gym.
What's that, Tommy?
I'm sure we'll find stuff to talk about over the winter. Listen, thanks a million, lads. Another brilliant
Cheers,
season.
Lads.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Ty.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.